Your sister's house in Houston, got
I think we're good.
Okay.
Please keep going.
No. Alright, welcome back to the Wild File, Case File Files. I'm your host, Sean Wild. And I'm here with Buddy Wild.
Thank you for remembering me. So I don't know if you want me to jump in and interrupt. It was a quick, like, do I interrupt or do I wait for him to introduce me?
I was trying to give you the eyes of introducing yourself, but that works. Okay. So this week we're going to be doing H.H. Holmes, who is considered America's first serial killer.
And America's sweetheart.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going to say first. America's first serial killer. America's little darling, H.H. Holmes.
Okay, so I'm going to start with his background and his early life. So to begin with, his name is not actually H.H. Holmes. He was born as Herman Webster Mudgett.
I can't believe. Why did he change his name? Herman, what was it?
Herman Webster Mudgett.
Herman Webster Mudgett. That gets worse by every name.
It does.
Herman, you can deal with. That's just good old Hermie the Wormy.
It sounds like a
Webster. Really... What do you like, Webby? Webster. Like you can't really shorten that.
But you and can then, make what, a really
sorry,
shitty
what was the
restaurant.
Last name? Mudgett. Sounds like a dirty word.
Mudgets. Mudgett. Sounds like a dive bar.
You Mudgets. It does kind of sound like a college dive bar that you would go to.
Yeah, like meet me at Mudgets. Two for one rails.
H.H. Holmes, that is a much better name.
Okay, so I said his name is Herman Webster Mudgett, and then in my notes I wrote a serial killer's name for sure. He was born in 1861 and was born in an affluent family. From the get-go, he was considered to be really smart and had expressed an interest in medicine early on. He would perform surgeries on animals that he had trapped when he was a kid, so definitely serial killer behavior.
Yeah, my doctor never liked when I did that.
Okay, so anyway, some people say that he actually killed a childhood friend, but there's no, like, proof of that. It's more hearsay, which a lot of this case is that because
relatable.
It was the 1800s.
Yeah. So I got away with it, too. That's hearsay. That's not making jokes that I've killed people.
Yeah. We don't need to be looked into. So anyways, there's no, like, proof of, like, a lot of the stuff that he did, or there's no, like, actual documentation, so it's really hard to tell what was real and what wasn't, but I'm going to try my best to weed out what actually happened. But it's hard to get an exact timeline, but he married his first wife, Clara Lovering, at 17, and at some point they had a son together, and I think the son's name is Robert. He ended up going to medical school at the University of Michigan, and he had an average GPA there, or he was an average student.
It would be interesting to see what college was like back then, because I don't even understand how they had colleges back then. To me, they were, like, primitive as fuck.
Well, like, how did you know where colleges were? Like, how did you know where things, like...
Letters? I don't know.
Letters, books? Like, did you just look up, like, an encyclopedia of, like, every college that admitted women and, like, the two you could get into, they went there?
Yeah, I guess. Or, like, I don't fucking know. Yeah, it seems all very super.
But it happened,
yeah,
allegedly.
Supposedly, yeah. Did they even have electricity? I feel like no. Well, whatever. I don't think they had electricity, but they could have. I don't really know. The American college has failed me. So I doubt the 1800s had a good college, but... Alright. So while he was in college, he started to get up to no good. For starters, he became a grave robber. Back then, it was like really hard to get cadavers from medical school, so they... I guess it was like commonplace for them to get it from robbers or kind of like black market bodies. So that just speaks again to the institution of college in the 1800s.
Okay.
But he would steal bodies from the grave and then sell them to other medical students or use the bodies in insurance fraud schemes.
Was it BYOC, bring your own cadaver to class?
Yeah, I guess so.
What the shit?
But fun fact, life insurance started in America in around 1760 and it was used as a fund for widows and So insurance was a real thing back then. There's also a story where his landlady during college had noticed a foul smell from under his bed, and when she found the source of it, it turned out to be a dead baby that he had stuffed under his bed.
Oh, God.
I don't know. That seems to be one of the more, like, outrageous stories that people say, and there's, like, no proof. But also, like, I have questions. Why was his landlady cleaning his bedroom? And...
That's a fair question. Did she give him 24-hour notice or what?
Yeah, what are the tenant laws? So then, anyways, after he graduated from the university, he just left his wife and child and moved to Chicago, where he accepted a job as a pharmacist. And I'm going to jump, like, forward in time. So, H.H. Holmes is really famous for this thing known as his murder castle, which is, like, kind of the center of the sensationalizing of his whole, like, criminal career. But, so basically, it's said that he created a hotel during the World's Fair in Chicago. And so the World's Fair is just, like, this huge fair. I think it used to be a bigger deal, but it's basically, like, the Olympics, where a city would host it every few years. And it was a different city every time, and this time it was Chicago, which, side fact, that's what, like, all the museums in Chicago are, like, leftover things from the World's Fair.
That's cool. I think originally they did the World's Fair to, like, bring their newest scientific revelations or, like, inventions together and, like bring them to the other parts of the world.
Yeah, I think it still happens, too, but I don't think it's a big deal anymore.
It's now just the new iPhone still, comes out.
Yeah, it's a convention. But, yeah, so it was a really big deal for the time. When it was held in Paris, that's how they got the Eiffel Tower, because they were like, that's they cool. wanted to make like a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And so when it was in Chicago, we had invented the Ferris wheel for it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But then now London has the biggest Ferris wheel, so I don't really understand how that. Okay, so anyways, it is claimed that Holmes killed upwards of 200 people who were visiting the World's Fair and were staying at his murder castle. The castle was a building that he owned, where the lower floor was a drugstore / jewelry store that he owned. The second floor was, like, apartments, and the third floor was a hotel. Although it's possible that it never was actually used as a hotel. Again, people, there's, like, terrible, terrible records for all of this, so nobody really knows. It's garnered a lot of suspicion because there were several rooms with secret entrances and, like, trap doors, and hidden passageways or secret rooms, like, completely hidden behind walls and stuff. He was able to build the building this way by hiring and firing contractors off and on, so not one contracting company knew the actual layout of the building. So no World's Fair goers were ever fully tied to being killed there, but people did go missing in large numbers at the World's Fair, so it's believed Holmes was a part of that number. But it's, again, it's not for sure that he was. It could just be the fact that nobody knew what the fuck was going on. The true reason for the secret passages and hidden rooms was because Holmes was a con man and he rented equipment often, so like furniture or things like that, and he would rent it under false names and then he would stash it in these hidden rooms, so when creditors and repo man came to take it back, it was nowhere to be found. And then he'd later sell it for profit, obviously.
Okay.
So, a little
Seems
bit,
reasonable enough.
Yeah, a little bit of I mean, he's still really crazy, so. We'll kind of go back in time now. So he moves to Chicago, and this is when he starts operating under the name H.H. Holmes. Again, people think that he made it because of Sherlock Holmes, but Sherlock Holmes didn't get created as a fictional character or whatever the fuck until, like, 1897 or something like that. So it was, like, kind of happening around
I think it was before that.
It was, like, 1887 or something.
I literally have the, or, like, annotated Sherlock Holmes in my office as a computer stand.
This is just what I read.
I could go grab it. Or, Alexa, when was Sherlock Holmes published?
The first book in Sherlock Holmes series, A Study in Spotted by Arthur Conan Doyle, was published in November 1887.
You were right.
Yeah, so 87. Okay, so this was like 4 years after after Sherlock Holmes was made, so it would have been not really likely that it would have been that popular in circulation for him. But anyways, so when Holmes lived in Chicago, he started many cons. He started his crimes by doing things like renting the furniture under fake names and then selling them for higher value later. But shortly after arriving in Chicago, he became the owner of a drugstore and, more importantly, the whole building. There's a debate about how he became the owner. So one version, the more sensationalized version, is that he murdered the couple that owned it. But the more boring and more likely true story is that they gave him the store or he bought it from them because they were pregnant and the store wasn't doing well to start with.
So. Boo, he murdered them. I want juiciness. Yeah. I don't want normal. I don't want to hear about their little escrow and their forms that they signed.
Well, also,
I want to hear that they got brutally, brutally whacked.
It seems like they were like witnesses later on and that they were actually just living 3 blocks away. So like, they were most likely not murdered. But he does kill people eventually, so we'll
Whew, thank God.
So around this time, Holmes meets his new wife, Murda, and they quickly get married and have a child named Lucy. And soon after Lucy is born, Holmes Holmes loses interest in his family and begins to start to have an affair with a clerk at a store named Julia. And so at this point, I think Holmes is living above the store, not with his wife. But anyways, he starts fucking Julia, and Julia has a whole family. She has a husband named Ned and a daughter named Pearl, and they live in the building that Holmes now owns, and that also contains the drugstore that they both work at.
Salacious.
Yeah, so things get really murky at this point, but I'm going to give the suspected version of what happened. So Holmes,
they're all an open, polyamorous couple. And
yeah.
Very free.
Very progressive for the time. So Holmes starts to have an affair with Julia, and eventually Julia's husband catches on and divorces her. So Julia stays working at the jewelry store within the drugstore and cares for her daughter, Pearl. And at this point, it's theorized that Julia gets pregnant with Holmes' baby, but Holmes was not interested in having another child, especially not with the woman he was having an affair with. So he tells Julia that he can perform an abortion for her because he has a medical background. And basically, he admits to this. Julia dies on the operating table while Holmes is performing an abortion for her. And it's not clear as to whether or not she died from complications of him not actually knowing what the fuck he was doing.
Or he just took care of two birds in one stone.
Yeah, or if he intentionally killed her. He claims that it was an accident, but it's very possible that he purposely killed her because it doesn't explain why Pearl, the daughter, also goes missing. So the daughter is believed to have been poisoned. After he kills the mom on the abortion table, he disposes of the bodies and claims that they went to go see a family in another state. And the family reaches out, but he claims to have not heard from them since they left, and they just are considered to have disappeared at this point.
Okay.
So soon after they disappear, Holmes rents their apartment out, and it's reported that their personal items were just still in the apartment.
So it was a furnished apartment.
Yeah, with like their clothes and everything. And years later, the bones of a child were found in the basement of the building. And so this is the strongest evidence that we have that he killed Pearl as well. So then it goes on to his next victim. And her name is Emmeline Segrand.
I like that name, Emmeline.
Emmeline.
It's pretty.
She was a typist that Holmes had met who had worked at a rival alcoholism clinic, which, by the way, he was running a rehab sort of thing.
Oh, I was going to say, rival to who?
Yeah, he was like, he had a lot of side businesses going on to cover it. It would have been really difficult. But basically, he also had like an AA type situation going on that he was probably
on. Okay.
So he eventually convinced her to work for him, and soon after their relationship turned romantic. Around Christmas of 1892, Emily disappears as well. By the way, when Pearl and Julia go missing is Christmas Eve of the year before. So there's like a Christmas time.
Happy holidays from the Wild and Wild Case File Files. Yeah.
Which I think also has to do with like him being smart enough to kill them around the holidays and be able to say that they were like traveling.
Yeah, out of town. Yeah.
When asked about her disappearance, Holmes had told people that she went to live with her fiancé, a man who no one had ever even heard of and had never met. And then there was testimony from a neighbor who had said that he had, or she had seen Holmes and some of his colleagues carrying a heavy trunk off the third floor of the building. So they think that they put her in the trunk and disposed of her body somehow. Another report says that a suspicious neighbor had not believed Holmes' story about Emily going off to get married. And a few days later, Holmes shows back up with a newspaper clipping that shows an announcement for the wedding. Most likely story is that Holmes wrote and paid for the newspaper column himself to throw suspicion.
Oh, not because he was so happy for the new couple?
Yeah.
So supportive, so happy.
But I just like to think that, like, her, like, mom or dad or, like, siblings, like, her. Yeah, saw this in the newspaper and were like, what the fuck, Emily? Like, why didn't you invite us to your wedding? Okay, so that is Emily. Next, we move on to the Williams sisters. So next is a woman named Minnie Williams. Minnie's story confuses me because a lot of the articles that I read said that Holmes was attracted to her because she was a wealthy orphan, but I've literally never heard of that in my life, a wealthy orphan.
Well, she'd be wealthy if she got the money from her parents who were dead.
I guess, but that, like, the only wealthy orphan I've ever heard of is fucking Batman.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of like wealthy story or like kids being really wealthy.
It just doesn't.
How did Richie Rich make his money? Was that the he finds that he writes a $1 million check from his grandma?
Or I like, don't even know who Richie Rich was. what we saw on the VH1 that we watched the other day, but that wasn't a real person, was it?
I don't know. I saw the Macaulay Culkin version of it.
Well, anyways, she's a wealthy orphan. She's
good for her. Sounds like a great situation, honestly.
So, Holmes had met Minnie sometime in the 1880s, so before he even went to Chicago, and eventually he moved her to Chicago in 1893, where he set up a fake wedding for them and also convinced her to sign over whatever real estate she owned. Because, again, she was wealthy and she owned, like, a bunch of shit for some reason. So, Minnie writes to her sister, Nanny, that she just got married, and, of course, the sister wants to come up and visit Chicago to meet her new in-law. So, this is the only record that we have of him going to the World's Fair, but he takes Minnie and Nanny to the World's Fair on the 4th of July. And afterwards, from the 5th of July, neither Williams sisters were ever heard from again.
Ooh.
So, again, a fucking holiday.
Yeah.
He's just...
He knows how to celebrate.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, they disappeared after July 5th, but on the day of July 5th, or like right around that time, there was a bunch of transactions made in Minnie's name, and shockingly, all the transactions were made in benefit to Holmes.
Ooh.
So then we get to the really crazy stuff, and this is when it gets really, really murky. Like, things are... I read, like, a bunch of different articles about this, and, like, there was a lot of things kind of matched up, but the timelines were switched or whatever, so mm-hmm. I'm just gonna give what I can get from it. So at this point, Holmes leaves and moves to Texas. Somewhere along the way, these three things happen for sure. He marries a new wife named Georgina Yoke. She would be his fifth wife in counting legal wife. She might be his third legal wife, but fifth wife.
Who is this guy? Pete Davidson? Wow.
Yeah, for real. So I think two of the weddings were for sure shams. So this is technically his third legal wife. Also along this time, he built a second drugstore/hotel murder mansion. Although this building was completed, it isn't clear that he actually did anything with it besides scam a bunch of builders into making it. And then the third thing that happened is he contacted an old friend and accomplice named Benjamin Peitzel. When he reached out to Peitzel, they had hatched a plan in which they would fake Peitzel's death and have Holmes collect the insurance money so that they would split the cash together.
We have a similar arrangement.
Oh, for sure.
You just don't know about it yet.
Yeah, and it'll turn out exactly how this does.
Yep.
So they go to Philadelphia to put the plan into effect, which I feel like this is a lot of traveling for the 1800s.
It really is. A lot of trains.
Yeah. So they go to Philadelphia, and Holmes takes Georgina with him, and Peitzel leaves behind his family, which is a wife and five children, who live in St. Louis, by the way. So once they get to Philadelphia, Peitzel gets bored and starts drinking a lot. Knows all about AA.
Mm-hmm.
But Peitzel becomes an extreme alcoholic and spends his time just getting wasted while Holmes tries to secure a body that will pass as a double for Peitzel. Of course, Holmes double crosses Peitzel though, and instead of finding a double, he just poisons Peitzel with chloroform and then stages the scene to make it look like an accidental explosion. So he just burns his hairs and then like takes a bottle of chloroform and like smashes it. So the insurance company is like, yeah, that's fine, this looks legit, but we can't give the money to Holmes because he's not an immediate family member, so we need an immediate family member to identify the body. So Holmes calls the wife of Peitzel, her name is Carrie, and Carrie is told all about the scam, and she's told that Peitzel isn't dead, and that he needs her to come identify the body so that both of them can cash in on the scheme. And so... Carrie doesn't want to leave her youngest child, who's like 15 months or something at the time. So instead, she sends her oldest child, Alice, who's only 15 years old. And Alice thinks this is a scam, so she goes and identifies the actual body of her father. And Carrie is granted a check for $7,200, which I Googled it to see. In today's money, it's about $230,000.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, that's pretty good money. And so, of course, Holmes tells Carrie that Peitzel owed him $5,000. And she just gives him the money.
Dumb bitch.
But at this point, Holmes has to finish the plan. He basically sees the Peitzel family as knowing too much. And at this point, they think that their father and husband are still alive. So they're obviously not just going to like let that go.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to tie up the loose ends. So Holmes convinces Carrie to send more of her children. So she sends 8 and 11-year-old children to Pennsylvania. He tells her that they can't all come at once because it would look suspicious for some reason, and that Ben Peitzel was actually hiding in Cincinnati, and he would return after a long enough time had passed. So next, Holmes starts moving 3 groups of people from city to city, like, not all at the same time. He moves himself and Georgina as one group. The next group would be the 3 kids that came to Pennsylvania, and then the last group is the mom and the 2 youngest siblings. So he had them jumping in staggered groups to different cities. So they'd go to, like, Detroit, and he would go first, and then bring the 3 kids, and then have the other part of the family come. But they would all be staying in different places. Mm-hmm. They would not know that they were in the same town at the same time.
Interesting.
And he would tell them that they were moving so much because Mr. Peitzel, who was dead, was actually skipping town because he was, like, getting caught or whatever.
Yeah.
So they had to keep moving because he had to keep moving. So he even started delivering fake letters to the 2 groups of family members and made it seem like they were writing to each other. And he was spending time with both of them, so they would, like, he would pick up on their mannerisms and, like, put them in the letter so that it would sound like them.
Yikes.
Eventually, he killed the 3 eldest children who were in the group, the first group. He first killed an 8-year-old boy named Howard, who was suspected of being given poisoned eggs. So they found his teeth and his skull jammed in the flue of a stove of a house that was in front of
him. Oh, gosh.
And then gross. The 2 sisters that were traveling with Howard were found in a trunk buried in the basement. The bodies were intact, and Holmes says that he gassed them, but there was no running gas to the house, so he was probably lying, but we have no idea what he actually did. And then for some unexplained reason, okay, by the way, doesn't this remind you of the TV show You?
A little bit. Everywhere you go, just keeps shit.
Yeah,
covering
he just
up
like
mess.
Keeps killing people and then like covering it up, and it just kind of goes away.
Yes, it does.
So for some unexplained reason, he just decides to go back to his first wife and son in Michigan, or I think they moved to New Hampshire this time. But anyways, he goes back to them. So Clara, the OG wife, and his OG child, who's now 15 years old. He goes back to them and tells them that he was in a train car accident and had amnesia for the past 15 years. And that he had recently recovered his memories. And
oh my god.
They fucking believe it, and he lies.
Okay, baller move on his part.
Yeah.
that's good. That is, like, in a grade A con.
And there's, like, literally no reason for this. He lies and says that Georgina was his nurse after the accident and that they had fallen in love and got married.
Happens.
And then he just fucking dips and leaves and goes to Boston on business. Which, so there's literally no reason for him to go back besides maybe be like, I wonder if I can get away with this.
Yeah. Or if she had any money or something. What a dick.
Yeah, that probably could be it. So, when Holmes gets to Boston, he's arrested by Boston PD. It turns out that the insurance...
On what grounds? What has this guy done?
It turns out that the insurance company had been investigating his insurance claim on Ben Peitzel, and they were tailing him when he was going from city to city. And then they actually arrest Carrie, the wife of the dead guy, as well, because she was in on the fraudulent claim. Like, she doesn't know to what extent she was in on it, but she was still abetting a crime. And so he tells police that Peitzel killed himself and that Holmes had staged it as an explosion because he knew the insurance company wouldn't pay for a suicide. And obviously they don't believe him.
Why would they? He's nothing but an honest businessman. Jeez.
So police start to investigate all the places that Holmes had been, and they find bodies of the 3 murdered Peitzel children in the house, and they're innocent how they were killed. And then they start to search the hotel and building that he owned in Chicago. So this is where they find the remains of a child buried in the basement, which they believe to be Pearl's. They also find a gas tank, a furnace, and a stained/gouged table in the basement. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is where the rumors start to fly that even though these are regular items for a building, they say that the gas tank was used to gas people in their rooms and that it was also used to strip people of their skin. They say that the furnace was used as a crematorium or whatever.
And for making ice cream?
A cremation place.
Oh, I thought he was starting another business.
The adventure of Cold Stone. And then the table was supposedly the operating table that he would like butcher people on.
Nice.
So,
or make the ice cream, like cut up some strawberries and stuff. Use the fancy a nice cold slab, like they have a Cold Stone. He was just entrepreneur.
Holmes was put on trial for the murder of Ben Peitzel and only Ben Peitzel because somehow they had made it that way that the other murders couldn't have been brought in. Hmm. And he was later hung for his crimes, but before dying, he says that the only people he had ever killed were Julia and Emmeline, and that they were both accidental murders because they died on the operating table. And so there's some hearsay that he was never actually hung and that he evaded death and stuck around murdering all the people that were involved in getting him caught. And this rumor was finally put to rest in the year 2017 when they exhumed his body and they tested his DNA with one of his ancestors and it matched. And actually that only came about because the ancestor believed that he was still, or that not still alive, that he would still kill more people. Yeah, and so the ancestor was trying to prove some of his old family's crime or deaths, and then he was wrong. So, but yeah, and then that's it.
That's good. Okay, so that is the story of like they did with Evan Peters and the hotel American Horror Story, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of fiction created off of it. I think that. Yeah, American Horror Story Hotel was based off of it because they did have, remember, the secret, like, passageway that like, they had sealed off.
And then a bunch of bodies hidden inside and, like, the workers that he would, like, build in.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a book called Devil in the White City, which is historical fiction about him and then an architect who built the World's Fair. Or who, like, designed
it. I think that's, what is that book called? I feel like someone's recommended it to me before. Devil in the White. Maybe it was you, or maybe I heard it.
Probably. But... I did read it, so I didn't realize that this case was, like, related to that until I was reading about this, and then I'm like, wow, this sounds hella familiar. And then I hit Google, and I'm like, oh, okay, it definitely is the same thing. But the book is, like, sensationalized. It, like, goes more into, like, the murder of, like, World's Fair goers and stuff. Like, it's fiction, but it's based on what
we know. I got it. What we now know. Scary.
Which isn't a lot, because there's a lot of
crazy things. And yeah, like, if there wasn't a journalist following him around and keeping, like, amazing documents, like, there's no way they're gonna find that. And there was the huge... When did that big Chicago fire happen?
I don't even know, but I do know that when they first searched his place, somebody, like, dropped a candle and... Because there was, like, a gas tank.